Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. Welcome to our show. I don't have Lana Love, Dr. Lana Love with us today, but that's fine. I have our special guest, Mike Wolf, who I met in Costa Rica, and I'm very excited to have Mike with us today to talk about real estate investing and veganism and various global issues on a personal level. And just wanted to invite Mike on. He's a really interesting guy. We spent a lot of time together, and I just thought it would be great to have Mike on the show to talk a little bit about all these things and just have a great time on the show today. Hey, welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. So we met each other in Costa Rica a couple weeks ago on the Adventure Project series, the film series that we were doing. And you were kind of the life of the party. We were singing the whole time and just really having a good time.
Well, you got to have fun everywhere you go, because you know what? Life's way too short, so you got to have fun.
Hey, that's one of the first spiritual principles I ever got. It hit me in the face. Life is short, and you just got to dive right in and have the best possible time you can. And I got to say, people really had a good time around you. You were like the life of the party. You really were. Really enjoyed meeting you and having a good time with you on all the whitewater rafting, and we went ATVing in the Costa Rican jungle and the resorts and the zoo and everything else, and on the bus and everything else, and everything we did. We met a lot of great people and a lot of interesting people, and had a lot of great conversations during the trip, particularly that you're a real estate investor, and you had a lot to say about that. And I thought that would be maybe a good place to start. You could just tell us a little bit about your background and what you're doing.
Sure, absolutely. So I've been investing in real estate for a little bit over 25 years now, and got started in it totally by mistake. So I didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I've got to be a real estate investor. I was actually working for the phone company trying to pay off my student loans, because I was actually on my way to getting my law degree. I got my first degree, and I thought, you know what, before I get my second degree, I'm going to get paid off. And anyway, I had all these student loans paid off, and so I was working at the phone company, and I bought my first principal residence. And my mortgage broker called me up and goes, "Well, if you want, your credit's good enough, and you're making enough money that if you wanted, we could probably get you another mortgage if you wanted to buy another home." And I said, "Why would I want to buy another home?" And then it kind of dawned on me, I guess if it makes sense to own instead of rent, wouldn't it make sense to have another property and have somebody paying down my mortgage, and eventually I'd have a paid off home. And so I proceeded to buy that second property. As luck would have it, a couple years later, the market took off, and I'm sitting on a fair chunk of equity, more than I ever thought I'd see. And I looked back and I thought, you know, in the last 2.5 years, I made this much with this property, and it was a lot more than I had made working for the phone company, which I didn't really enjoy. And I thought, hey, if I could do this by mistake, what would happen if I did this on purpose? So here I am 25 years later, still doing it, loving it. And I also love to help other people to be successful in real estate investing, because there's a lot of myths and misconceptions out there, and there's too many of those TV shows on, you know, flipping Vegas and flip this and flip that. And most of them aren't very realistic. So I like to show people how to actually make money in real estate and do it properly. And so I get some people who want to be hands-on and get their hands dirty and do what I do, and then I get other people who want me to do it for them. So I have a done-for-you real estate turnkey properties as well. So that's basically how I got here, kind of a lot of ups and downs along the way, luckily more ups than downs, and over time figured it out. And now the phone company is long behind me, and so is a desire to get a law degree as well, which I'm kind of glad about, actually. So here I am.
Yep, there you are. Hey, that's awesome. Look, I can totally understand. I went to law school as well, and you know, I think I was in the top 10% of my class. And I realized this isn't what I want to do. I realized it's very difficult to be a lawyer. It's very difficult to make money. There's so many in the United States, and I actually got a strong interest in private investigation, and so I went in that direction. And actually, I just got my private investigator's license in Australia recently. As well as Dr. Lana Love just sold her property here, and so we're moving ahead with a lot of things as well. So it's very exciting here in Australia, in Sydney. But just that's fantastic. you know, what you've done with your life. And I'm interested in hearing more about the myths and realities of property investing. And of course, because a lot of times we talk about the energy of money here. So I think I want to get into that a little bit with you, just on the spiritual level, how this works. But I'd like to hear more about, you know, just the basic operation of what you're doing. And you can also give us your contact information, your website, too.
Sure. Well, first of all, if you want to check me out, I'm on MikeWolfMastery.com. So it's MikeWolfMastery, MikeWolfMastery.com. And, yeah, basically, you know, I think, like I said, there's all these TV shows that make, you know, they glorify flipping homes. And flipping homes is great. Don't get me wrong. I you know, I do that to a certain extent as well. However, there's a lot more to it than just that. And in all honesty, where most people get wealthy in real estate is by creating passive income. And that's, you know, buying and holding properties. And it is like my first property that I had. It took me 2.5 years, but, you know, when the market went up, I was sitting on, like I said, a pretty good chunk of cash, especially back in, you know, in those days, early 90s. That was a lot of money for me. And, you know, so really the key, in my opinion, is to, you know, build a portfolio of cash flowing properties, meaning that the rent that comes in, you know, far exceeds the amount that you pay for property taxes, insurance, you know, all the other expenses, whatever repairs you're going to have, vacancy. And so, and it provides you with an income stream. And if you do things properly, which means, in my opinion, having teams that do most of the work for you, meaning you have property managers collecting the rent for you at the end of each month, you could really build a really nice lifestyle for yourself. So when I was in Costa Rica, that was just pretty much par for the course. I spent most of my life traveling. That's one of the things I love to do. I spend time with my daughter, my grandson. I love to give back. I do a lot of volunteering. And I get to do all this stuff, and the money keeps coming in. So when you build a, you know, portfolio of properties, and you know, once you get to the point where that money coming in every month exceeds all your expenses, then you're pretty much home free. You got freedom. You can do whatever it is you like. TV makes it look like, you know, the only way to make money is go find some grandmother that doesn't, you know, an old lady that doesn't know the value of her home, rip her off, and then go flip it and make a lot of money. And I think that's really doing a disservice. And I believe, you know, to me, a successful negotiation when it comes to real estate, or anything for that matter, a successful negotiation is one where you and the person you're dealing with and everybody involved, they all win. Everybody ends up ahead, and they would all do business together over and over and over again. That to me is success. And also, you know, I know a lot of people that have made money doing what I said earlier, and you know, finding, you know, people that are really down on their luck and taking advantage of them. And those people, in my opinion, they don't have, they mostly don't have very long careers. And at some point, they usually start to dislike what they do, and they start to feel depressed, and they don't last in the industry all that long. When you're creating win-wins and you're helping other people, and every deal is, you know, kind of done with, under that nature, I find it's very sustainable. You wake up every day excited to do what you do, and you build a good reputation where people come to you looking to do more deals, or they send their friends. And to me, that's how business should be done. And that's, you know, I think there's a lot of people. You're mentioning the spirituality of money, and I think we have two real extremes where we have people that they almost have an addiction to money, where they'll do anything to make a paycheck, and they don't care what they have to do and who they have to step over to get there. Then you get other people that have a fear, you know, they almost have a mindset issue with making money, and they're almost opposed to it, and sometimes they don't even know it, sometimes it's in their subconscious. And to me, money is a reward you get for doing a good job, and you can give it back, and you can volunteer and help a whole lot of people when you make it. And that's what I like to do. I like to have a lifestyle that's basically totally sustainable, and it comes in on autopilot. My money comes in every month without me having to do anything. You know, I have to do something once, and now I get paid for it over and over and over again. But I reinvest it in a lot more real estate, and then I give a lot of the proceeds away to help less fortunate people. And I love to educate people. And so I think all these things are just interrelated. Happiness is interrelated. I think when you're on the right path, I think things come effortlessly to you, and allows you to help other people. And that's why I love what I do. That's why I find it so fulfilling. It's not the real estate itself is just a means to an end. And I'm not in love with drywall or windows or roofs. I don't really fall in love with the homes themselves. I do fall in love with the fact that I can help other people. Most people that put their homes up for sale are there's a reason why they're putting it up for sale. Either they're moving up, they're moving down, they lost their job, they're getting divorced. Who knows? They're getting relocated. There's a whole lot of different reasons why somebody might put their home up for sale. And I look at that as somebody having a problem. And for me, what that means is that gives me an opportunity to be a problem solver, help them with that issue, leave them in a good spot when we're done working together, and we all win. And so that's kind of how I see it, and I feel blessed that every day I get to do what I love, whether it be helping other people with real estate or helping people in different ways. And the fact that, once again, I'm getting paid for stuff I did, in some cases 20 years ago, I'm still getting paid for it over and over and over again. And that's the real value of real estate is, having this is recurring revenue stream, and if you have the right teams in place, it becomes effortless. And that's what I love about it.
That's fantastic. You've said you brought up so many great points, Mike. Thank you so much for just talking about
it. I get excited, and then you catch up. I get really excited.
Yeah, I can hear that in your voice. And I have to say, I've met a lot of people, and like I said, I've spent a lot of time with you in Costa Rica and had a lot of conversations with you, and you really are exactly the way you sound. I mean, you have a really good character. I think you're a really good person to work with, and I can vouch for you and validate what you're saying. And it's great the way you talk about money as a tool and rather than as the source of all evil, because the root of all evil, I guess. Because in my experience, I have seen that when it comes to like information, like you've said, you've talked about other television flipping programs, and when money shows up, I always do get skeptical because money always does seem to corrupt. And I don't want to say always, because there's never an absolute in life. Typically, there's never an absolute. But in any case, when I hear about when I'm working on a case or when I'm hearing a story and money seems to be involved, I'm always skeptical. But
right.
It doesn't have to be that way. And of course, like you're saying, money is a means and it's a tool that gives you the freedom to enable you to do the things you really want to do and have a fulfilling life and be able to give back. And that's a really important concept that this is, money is in the mind. It's a concept. It's an idea. It's value. And currency, is the physical manifestation of that, and it's how you use it. And the idea that you're using passive income as a means to travel around the world and have the freedom to do what you want to do is fantastic. And I think if everybody had your positive attitude towards the energy of money, things would work so much better for everyone. And it's really important that we get that. And, while we've had lots of shows about the global economy and just about so many things having to do with money. But this is true. What you're promoting is very true. The ideas that you just put across. And I'm the king of get-rich-quick schemes. Don't get me wrong. I've had, in the last 20 years, I've tried many of them. I've tried all kinds of things, even some of the ones you've mentioned. I've tried all kinds of stock trades and, the different phone line type schemes and things. And I found that there is no such thing as a get rich quick scheme.
It's not really one of them either. A lot of people will try to sell people on that dream and get them excited. And usually just the promoter is the one who's getting rich off that, not the participants, unfortunately. And, real estate is one of those things that's got this curve to it where things grow exponentially. And so, if I were to give you a penny today and each day gave double that, so today I give you a penny, tomorrow I give you 2 pennies, next day I give you 4 pennies, in the beginning it's pretty darn boring because, jumping from 1 cent to 2 cents is pretty minor. But when you start to get, if you build the right foundation, you build things properly, once you get to a certain point, when you jump, you know, when you're jumping from one house to, you know, one home to two home, it's still exciting because obviously we're still talking large numbers, but it's a lot more exciting, you know, getting from, let's say you had 100 properties right now, each of them, I look at homes as a piggy bank. And if each of those piggy banks spits up money at the end of every month, which is what they should do if you're buying strategically, you know, when you have 100 properties, buying that 101st property becomes really, really easy because you have enough just from the rent to do that. And so real estate has a very big curve where you go from, you know, at first it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of boring. You get your first property, probably not going to make that big a dent in your lifestyle. When you get to that second one, helps a little bit more. But it's one of those things that as you get going with it, the properties you got earlier help you buy more properties. And, you know, once again, it's not get rich quick, but it's certainly, you know, can help supplement your income. And it's kind of funny, I had a conversation with somebody the other day who was thinking of buying one of my turnkey properties for me. And he goes, well, does it even make a difference? Do I want to buy, you know, if I buy only one property, you know, and it's going to give me an extra $600 or $700 a month, is it really going to make that big a difference? And I said, well, this one property on its own, you know, won't right in the immediate future. I mean, it's going to give you an extra, let's say, $7,000 this year, which means maybe you'll get one extra vacation. But he kind of didn't see, you know, I had to measure it in terms of what's it going to do for his lifestyle. He's thinking, oh, $600-$700, it's like, what am I going to do, take a few days off of work? But I have to measure it in terms of, well, if you take your family on an extra vacation, and then just wait as that market goes up, just like my first property, I couldn't get out of my job buying that one property. I still went to the phone company, but 2.5 years later, I did quit my job because of what happened to the market. And so, so in and of itself, it sounds really boring. And I basically told him, it's kind of like, well, if at work they told you they're going to give you a raise of an extra $7,000 this year, would you say no to it? And he goes, no, of course not. I go, well, that's, if you don't buy this property, you're basically turning down an extra $6,000-$7,000 this year, and that. But more importantly, what's going to happen in the long run is that first property is going to allow you to buy a second. And then when you get to two, if you do things strategically, that's going to lead to four. And so it's not the, you know, like I said, the stuff you see on TV where it looks like it's a get-rich-quick sort of thing. You know, in my experience, it hasn't worked that way. But if you build the right foundation and you are smart with how you build that portfolio, before you know it, you know, it could easily get you out of your job and create more of a, you know, more of a freedom in your lifestyle, allow you to give back more. But I think that's another one of the, you know, one of the, you mentioned in the media, in the movies, they always, you know, the bad guy's always a rich guy. And right. I can tell you that when I didn't have a lot of money, when I was working for the phone company, I was not traveling around the world volunteering and going to orphanages or giving back to, you know, right now here I'm in Canada. And there's huge fires going on not far, and I'm going to be donating some money to a lot of the people that were displaced by it. In New Orleans, where they had the Hurricane Katrina, the U.S. government did very, very little to help the people. I was down there with some of my team fixing up homes and bringing people back to the city, and I couldn't have done any of that had I not been in a good position myself. And I always explain it like this. They go on an airplane, and they say, before you put your oxygen mask on your child, put it on yourself first. And it's not because you don't love your kids, because you can't possibly help somebody if you're not in a good spot yourself. So I say everybody should get themselves in a good spot financially and then go help other people with it. That's my mantra. And it doesn't mean you have to give away every cent. Absolutely. Take more vacations. Go enjoy yourself. Spend time with the family. Put your kids through school. Do whatever it is you love. But also give back. I find when you give back, it comes back to you, you know, tenfold. It's just the way the universe works. And, you know, it's just, to me, that's something I wish I had learned earlier on in life. Because when I first started to make the money, I used to buy all, you know, I had fancy stereos and cars and, I mean, you name it, all these toys. And I found that they weren't really exciting me. You know, they'd be exciting for a week or two. And then after that, the novelty wears off. And then it's like, you know, okay, I worked so hard to earn this money so I could have all these toys that I thought were going to make me happy. And here I am not really going all that fulfilled. Like, so I learned later on in life, it's probably too long a story to tell on your radio show, but basically I put all my stuff in storage and traveled around the world with my daughter. And back then I was married. My wife's daughter and I traveled around the world for 2 years. And I realized that all the stuff that I put in storage was meaningless to me. The stuff that was important was spending time with my family, going to other countries where people didn't have nearly the amount of material things that we have in North America or Australia for that matter. And yet they were always smiling and happy, even though they didn't even know where their next meal was coming from sometimes. And you come back to, you know, you come back to North America, and, you know, people are pissed that their neighbor gets a better both of them. And, you know, we're sitting there fighting traffic to get to a job that we don't love, and we're just very ungrateful people, you know, compared to some of the other parts of the world. And it really put things in perspective for me. When I came back, I really didn't want the stuff, all that material stuff I put in storage wasn't really that important to me. And I realized that just giving back and helping other people, that's the stuff that you remember. That's the stuff that makes it fulfilling to wake up every morning. It makes you love what you do, knowing that, hey, I'm going to be able to help more people today. And that was a game changer for me. I wish I learned that earlier on in life, but it took me a little while.
That's a fantastic lesson. Right now, half our stuff is in storage. You brought up so many great points again. Geez, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, you're a happy person, and I saw that. We were on our trip was with a lot of life coaches, and I guess you could call them transformational leaders, and we had a really good time. And because you built a good foundation for yourself, you were able to take part in that and join in. And, you know, you have a sense of generosity and gratitude and appreciation, and I think that's really important when it comes to money. You have to have a healthy relationship with money. Everything we do in life is a relationship between ourselves and something else, and you've developed that attitude, a healthy, positive attitude towards the energy of money. And you also mentioned that about the fact that, you know, you're using real estate is not your passion, but you're using it as a tool to, you know, live life to the fullest and give back and do whatever is in your passion. And I think, and I guess another good point is that anyone can do that. And while we've had so many people on our radio show, and I also promote on universalsoullove.com, we had a person on our show. We've had Jonah Bolt on our show with the Starseed Society talking about a gold-backed financial exchange system, which is great too. But again, I think it just comes down to human nature and our attitude in whatever we do. And whether it comes to physical currency or electronic currency or any kind of financial exchange system or possessions, it's about having a healthy relationship with everything in life, including our possessions and money and in our own relationships. And like, oh, one other thing you said, Mike, that was really good was you really can't, unless you have a good foundation, you can't give anything away. You can't give money away. You can't give your time away if you don't have it. You can't even give your love away if you don't have self-love. So we really have to feel secure in ourselves, and we have to feel a sense of stability and security in order to give back.
Yeah, so true. So true. And I will say, you know, you're mentioning the Costa Rica trip and how much fun we had. And you know, that was all, I mean, it was based on the fact that I mean, all the people that were there obviously had to be in a certain position to be able to go and take, you know, 10 days out of their lives and just to be there, you have to be at a certain point, obviously. And so, you know, it's just one of those things is that, you know, once you've got that freedom, everything that you do, you know, at a certain point, the money becomes irrelevant. You don't really need more money at a certain point. And you don't go chasing it. And ironically, when you're not even looking to make it, it just comes in so freely, you don't even have to think about it. And when you get to that point, then you measure everything in terms of happiness and joy. And so every day I wake up and, you know, I put myself in my happy place, wherever that might be. And, you know, that's why, I mean, Costa Rica is actually one of my favorite places on the planet. I've been there 5 times. And, wow. But when you start to do things based on, you know, what creates happiness, what creates joy, which for me is giving back. And I can tell you most, you know, I hang out with a lot of people that are very wealthy. I've got a lot of friends that are millionaires, and some of them are miserable because they've got very successful businesses. They have a lot of money in their bank account. They have a lot of money coming in, but they don't have a life because they spend their whole time, even though they have the money, they're still chasing more money. And they, you know, they don't have any balance. They don't spend any time paying attention to their health until they have a major health problem, in which case they have no choice. And they're not paying attention to their relationships. They don't, you know, they don't get spend any time with their kids. and they become really trapped by the businesses they've created. And so one of the things I love to teach my students is not just how to make the money, that's actually the easy part, but how do we create a life for ourselves, something that we love? How do we create that freedom? And to me, that's really one of the reasons why I do like real estate as an investment vehicle. Imagine I had $1 million worth of gold sitting underneath my mattress right now. Well, unless I sell that gold, I can't pay for my cell phone bill at the end of the month. I can't buy food. I can't travel. I can't do anything unless I sell it. Now, with real estate, once again, you have to be smart with what you're buying. But if you have the fundamentals in place, you're buying strategically. Real estate spits out money at the end of every single month. I couldn't turn that money off even if I wanted to, unless I had a really bad team that picked really bad tenants. As long as I've got tenants in my properties that are paying, I can't turn that money off. Yet when it pays out at the end of every month, the value of the property doesn't go down. So some people might say, oh, well, there's dividend-paying stocks. Well, dividend-paying stock is worth a lot more the day before it pays out than the day after it pays out. It goes down in value because now the company has less cash. So real estate is the only investment that I know of that pays out, keeps going up, but appreciates. In most cases, when we look historically, obviously there are some recessions that we've been through. The U.S. is going, finishing one right now, which to me creates an opportunity. By the way, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing if you're smart with your money and you have it set aside for when that happens. Or if your real estate is spending out money every month, it allows you to buy more, which is even better. And so, real estate to me is a no-brainer from that perspective. And then on top of that, in a lot of countries, and especially the U.S., there's a lot of incentive to own real estate. So you get to depreciate it. So a lot of the richest people on this planet own real estate so that they can bring down their taxable income. And if you look at somebody like Warren Buffett, he openly admits that he pays less tax than his assistant does. And Warren Buffett, as you and I know, is a billionaire. And I don't know how much his assistant makes, but I'm pretty sure she's not a billionaire. But she pays more tax than him. So, real estate is a great way to reduce taxes. And a lot of people don't know that. That's not what they show you on TV. On TV, they just show you flipping home, you buy it, you put some lipstick on it, you sell it, make a lot of money, and then you move on to the next one, which to me is a job. And the whole purpose of real estate, in my opinion, is not to create a job. It's to create freedom really create that lifestyle, create the things that you love, and then just put it on autopilot. Let that money come in, and then go do the things that make you happy. And when you get to the point where you don't need all the money that's coming in, give it away. Help other people and create projects and get tax deductions for it. And it's just a great, once again, win-win. And that's the most important key.
Well, I love the idea of a winning strategy. So that certainly sounds like one, the idea of a passive income stream. I totally agree with you. Being in the private investigation business for more than 20 years, I've worked for a lot of millionaires, and I've had all kinds of cases. I've had domestic cases, child support, child custody infidelity, civil suits, collections, criminal cases, and I've seen a lot of unhappy, wealthy people trying to use lawyers, private investigators to win something that's totally unwinnable, to basically get revenge on the other person. And, that's something that you generate within you. Anger is something, and revenge and bitterness are feelings generated from within you. And so it doesn't matter how much money you have. You can't actually solve any kind of anger problem or issue within you using money, and it can't be resolved with a pill. I don't even think it can be resolved with therapy necessarily. Even after 10 years of set therapy, I've still seen angry, bitter, vengeful people. And so what you said about living a life filled with happiness and joy is fundamental. It's just such a great thing to teach people, that it's not about the money, it's not about possessions, it's not even about your relationships with other people, it's just about you, it's about feeling good inside and pursuing joy in life and pursuing, it's about what your measure of success is. And I think you were talking about all these millionaires who keep pursuing more and more money and thinking that money is the measure of success, and it's not. For me, it's certainly not the measure of success. Like, I think, just like you do, it's about having more time to do the things that bring you joy.
Yeah, the money in and of itself definitely does not bring happiness. I mean, we look at somebody like, you know, Robin Williams, for example, a great example of somebody who, from the outside, mm-hmm. should have been the happiest guy on this planet. He had, you know, for tons of money. He had fame. He had everything that most people would love to have, or at least they think they'd love to have it. And, you know, he spent his life trying to make other people laugh, and yet he was miserable. He ended up hanging himself. And you know, it's just very sad when we see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, one of the things that I've noticed is that when people don't have money, they assume when I've got the money, it's going to fix all these things. I'm going to be so happy. But when you've got the money, when you've made the money and you're still not happy and you don't know what it's going to take, you know, at that point, most people don't know what do I do next. When you don't have the money, it's like, okay, I got to make money and I got a plan. When you have the money and you're unhappy, you don't have a plan. You don't know what you want to do next. And luckily that for me, I was in that position too. I was at a point where I had all these things. I actually attempted to retire. That lasted about 3 days. I thought, when I was younger, I thought when I get to, you know, 25 properties, I'll go lie on the beach, learn how to surf, I'll be a beach bum, and I'm going to be happy, and it's going to be so exciting. Well, after about 2 or 3 days of that, I started to feel, you know, wake up feeling unfulfilled and sad, didn't really know what I wanted to do, and that's when I planned this trip. I'd always wanted to travel, and so we took our daughter out of, she was in grade 2 at the time, we took her out of school and homeschooled her, and we traveled, and that's where, that was really a big game changer for me, and that's really one of my messages, is that, yeah, I can help you make money, that's no problem, and there's nothing wrong with making money, there's nothing even wrong with craving money, there's nothing wrong with any of that, but it's what are you going to do when you've got the money, what are you going to do with it, and what are you going to do, what's going to light you up, what excites you every day, and a lot of people, if you have a 9-to-5 job, I agree, I think somebody, if they had a 9-to-5 job and they won the lottery, for them, maybe that would be fulfilling. Even then, I don't know. But if you're an entrepreneur, it's almost impossible to retire from doing stuff that you love. And for me, I love what I do every single day. And so after the few days of being retired, I decided, you know what, I'm going to work till the day I die. But I'm only going to do stuff things that I enjoy. And that's what I love to teach people, to figure out what it is that lights you up, what excites you, what are you going to do after you got the money? What are you going to do to you know, be happy, be joyful. What's that going to look like? And that's the most important thing. So, and having said that, I know people who have very little money that are happy too. So, it doesn't have to be where you crave the money. But I can tell you, I've been poor, and I've been, you know, by most people's standards, wealthy, and it's a lot more fun being wealthy. I can tell you that from my perspective. So, being poor, absolutely, you can absolutely. I know in a lot of countries, people are poor, and they're smiling and very giving. But I would much rather be in my position personally. So, speaking from experience.
Okay, I do have more to say about that. I want to just take a quick music break and come back, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about value and some of the stuff you just mentioned. So let's just take a break, and we'll come right back. Okay, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. Today I have my good friend Mike Wolf with us today. He's a real estate investor, and we're talking about just the value of money and relationships of all kinds, basically, and just about having a life filled with joy and success. And welcome back, Mike Wolf.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah,
I made the cut.
So we were just,
I got to sing after the music break. That's good.
Yeah, that was a good break. It's nice to kind of collect our thoughts and come back to talking about I think we were going to start talking about value and what that means. And I guess we all have our own interpretation of what value means to us, and even money itself has value. And obviously that's a huge conversation, what value, what money's worth. You mentioned gold, actually. You mentioned, because I brought up that we have universal soul gold, which is a financial exchange system, because you can't take physical gold into a shopping store and exchange it for food, the way things are set up right now, which is why Universal Soul Gold is actually a financial exchange system. But in any case, how would you describe value? Mike? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think value, the first thing that comes to my mind as an entrepreneur is, you know, the value of what we do in life. And you often hear the saying, we often hear that saying that, you know, do what you love and the money will follow. And I agree with that to a certain extent, but I also believe that you should do what you love, add value to the marketplace, and then the money will follow. Because if you're, I know a lot of starving musicians that love what they do, but they're certainly not having the money follow yet. So, you know, when you're creating things, I always look at value as you know, what you can bring to the either the marketplace or how you can add value to other people. That's the context that I generally use that in. And I think one of the challenges is most people undervalue their gifts and what they know. And I work with a lot of, in addition to real estate investors, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. And actually, I'll give you a good example. My daughter, who's now, she's 20, when she graduated from high school, she didn't know exactly what she wanted to do. And it took her a couple months. And then she decided she wanted to teach holistic health and nutrition. And she applied to get into a course at the university, but it was already filled by the time she had applied for it. And so she had to take a year off. And so I said to her, you know what, there's probably a lot of other people that would have loved to have gotten that course, and they couldn't get in either. And she goes, yeah, that's right. And I go, and my daughter, by the way, she's calling me up like all the time saying, Dad, I just learned this. You know, she's very passionate about it. She's always learning. And I said, you probably know a lot of the things that I'm going to teach in that course, right? She goes, yeah, but I want to get certified. I go, okay. Well, because there's other people that would love to get into that course, and they'd love to get certified too, but they can't get into next year. What if you created an online, you know, what if you create an online course that taught other people some of the stuff that you've learned? And maybe you even know more than what they'd, some of the things you know might not even be taught in university, and vice versa. And so anyway, you know, it was, you know, at first she said, yeah, I'd love to do that. And I go, and guess what? You could probably charge, you know, maybe $500 for the online course. It'll be X number of weeks. She goes, well, Dad, I don't want to charge for it. I just want to give it away for free. And so I basically had that conversation about, one, having a sustainable business. You can't help, you can't, your message is going to get lost if you're not charging what you're worth, if you're undervaluing your gifts and your knowledge. So, number one. Number two, other people don't put any, they don't take it seriously if they don't have any skin in the game, if they're not invested in it. So she reluctantly, she created a vegan cookbook, and we're creating the course, and she reluctantly agreed to do this. But so many people undervalue their gifts because, you know, these things come naturally to us. It comes effortless to us, but to other people it doesn't. And I totally believe that you've got to charge other people for what you know, but you've also got to pay other people for what they know, that you're lacking the skills that you don't have. So I think of value, that's what immediately comes to mind, but that's how my entrepreneurial brain thinks, so straight to that. So I know there's a million and one different ways to define value, and
it
can relate to a lot of different things, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
No, that's a good point. I mean, there's value is a very, you can give many meanings to the word value. Certainly self-worth, I think, is one of the things you were getting at. And if you don't have a good sense of self-worth, I think it's very difficult to find value in anything outside of you. And it's probably very difficult to build wealth. So I really think we need to start with ourselves and examine our own belief systems and our own beliefs about our own gifts, our own talents, our own skills, our own intelligence, our own self-worth. And once we've established a strong foundation, like you said before, in our own value, then we can really start building abundance in our life and living a life filled with happiness and joy. And I think that's really important to have that foundation.
Yeah, it's very, very true. And you know, when it comes to and related to that as well, when we talk about money and value, I think it's really important that in addition to, you know, obviously having money come in, I think it's very important to have that money go out too. Either, you know, not just obviously the other investments and not just giving back to other, help out, you know, less fortunate people, but just, I don't know, when I see people hoarding money, and they have this huge attachment to it, those people generally don't tend to be very happy also. And I find the people have the money come in, and then they spend it. I don't mean just, you know, buy all this junk and all these depreciating assets like boats and cars. I don't mean it that way. But the people who openly don't hoard it, and they seem to be the most well, in my opinion anyway, in my experience, they seem to be the most well-adjusted and the happiest. And people that hoard money, they tend to spend a lot of time being stressed out over losing it. And they worry so much about it. And for me, I find that if you have an abundance mentality, you have faith that the money will always be there when you need it. It's always going to come back. But you it's got to keep flowing. You got to keep the money flowing. And that, to me, is really important. And I always love to teach my students that, because a lot of them, they seem to have one extreme or the other a lot of times, where it's like they either want to hoard it or they can't wait to go buy, that Lamborghini. When I make this much money, I'm going to go buy a Lamborghini. It's like, to me, that's like, most of those people, I've had a few friends buy, really fancy cars and buy all these things, and they're usually not that fulfilled. Not long after they bought it, they usually wish they hadn't, is what I found. And I have a few exceptions. I know a few people that are exceptions to that, but that's just what I noticed from my experience.
Right. Okay. That's great, because, on the trip, I like to talk about the spiritual warrior attitude, which is just basically about balance, and it's about just having a healthy attitude in all your relationships. And that's also true with money. And I don't know how anyone could feel good hoarding it. Just the same as I'm sure you can't feel great if you don't have it either. So it's important to keep it flowing, and it's important to pay people what they're worth. Like you said, if they have information that you don't have that's valuable to you, and just giving back. And you're also vegan. That's an important thing. I'm sure our listeners would love to hear that, because we have a lot of vegans on the show, and Lana and I are also vegan, as you know. So that's
Even
of itself, the value of life. I think life is most valuable.
Well, it's kind of interesting, because remember earlier I was talking about balance, how people, they become workaholics and they kind of ignore their health. Well, I was actually speaking from experience, because I used to be one of those people. And then I had a little bit of a wake-up call, and so I used to get gout. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's an inflammation caused largely by eating red. People that are prone to it, it runs in families. My grandfather had it, my uncle had it. And for me, eating red meat, the protein in it, my kidneys don't absorb it doesn't dispose of the protein well enough. And the protein builds up into these what's called uric acid crystals. And these crystals float through your body, and they attach to your joints quite often in your big toe. And I dealt with this disease for about 20 years on and off. It comes and goes. And as I got, right now I'm 50. Most people don't even get gout till they're in their 50s. I had it my first attack I was like in my 20s. So I dealt with this on and off for 20 years before I decided to change my habits. And it got to the point, my last attack, which was probably around 3.5 years ago, I actually ended up in a wheelchair. Up to that point, I always pushed myself. I'd be in pain, but I'd always push myself. And even though it hurt, I'd keep walking. I'd walk on the side of my foot. I'd hop. I'd do whatever it took, but I keep pushing myself. And then the wheelchair was kind of the last straw, where I couldn't push myself even if I wanted to. And I took my daughter. We were in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. I took her for her birthday, and she had to push me in a wheelchair. And I said, okay, this is the last straw. And so I basically hired a very high-level health coach. He used to actually help Tony Robbins, so he's very high-level. And he did a bunch of tests, took a bunch of blood, did a bunch of allergy testing, you name it. We looked at my blood under a microscope, and he said, Mike, in order, here's what you got to give up. And he said, number one, all meat, all fish, no animal protein whatsoever. Number two, all alcohol, especially red wine, and I happen to like red wine, by the way. And number three, it turns out I have an allergy to dairy and also to egg yolks. So he said you should really give that up too. And so normally it would have been difficult to give up any of those things, but when you're in a wheelchair and now you're, this lifestyle that I worked so hard to build up, it didn't matter how much money, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you can't buy back your health. And so
true.
So it's kind of the universe telling me, listen, you're either going to give up some of these things, you're not going to be able to push yourself even if you want to anymore. So now you got to make a decision. You can either live in a wheelchair, eat whatever you want, or you can change your habits, and now you're going to have to pay attention to your health, not just your business, not just your financial health, but your actual bodily health, and those are your choices. And so I immediately gave up all meat, and then, you know, under the circumstances, it was really easy. There was really no decision to be made. I would have really not had a lot of respect for myself if I wouldn't have made that decision. So I gave it up, and then, you know, a few months, you know, within a few months, the pain went away. I got out of the wheelchair, luckily, and I haven't had an attack since. But anyway, I did that totally for myself. Even though I always loved animals I always kind of felt guilty about eating meat anyway, because, you know, I am the biggest animal lover on the planet, but I owe a lot to my daughter. My daughter was vegan long before I was. And she calls me up and goes, "Dad, it wasn't that hard to give up the meat, was it?" I go, "No, under the circumstances, it was a piece of cake. I had no choice." And she goes, "Well, you love animals, right?" I go, "Yeah." And she goes, "And your doctor told you should probably give up dairy and eggs, right?" And she goes, I go, "Yeah." And so anyway, my daughter, who's much smarter than me, convinced me that I should just go full vegan, which I did. And then I realized, you know what? You know what's really good about this is that, you know, maybe when I'm 70 or 80, and maybe I don't really want to travel as much anymore, I might have gone back to my old habits and said, "Well, I don't care if I'm in a wheelchair anymore, because I don't need to get around as much. It doesn't matter." Maybe I would have given in. But when you do, and the really big lesson is that when you do something for something much bigger than yourself, now I'm doing it not just for myself, I'm doing it for animals and doing it for the planet. When you have something bigger than yourself that you're doing something for, that changes everything, because now I can never go back to my old ways, because, I'd be letting not just myself down. I'd be letting down a lot more than just that. And I love being vegan. It's the best thing I ever did. And a lot of other things that were bothering me, like the immediate problem was my feet. But since I gave up the dairy and the eggs, I had this arthritis in my shoulder. That went away. And I've since learned that, you know, how inflammatory dairy is. And so a lot of things I wasn't even trying to fix have now fixed themselves. I lost around 20 pounds. I feel 10 times better. My energy is so much better. And, you know, most importantly, I'm never going to go back to my old ways. And I'm also grateful because I never gave up my red wine. So I still consume that, and I feel great. So that's why my biggest lesson that I love to teach your listeners, though, is to not wait till you get handed, this life-threatening illness or a wheelchair. Don't wait till it gets to that point. I wish I could have made that decision earlier and said, "Hey, if I keep this up, I'm going to end up in a wheelchair." I made those decisions. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom, unfortunately. But if there's one piece of advice I would give people, to not wait till you get to that point. And I'm very lucky.
Yes.
Very grateful that today I'm walking again, because it wasn't like I went to the doctor and the doctor said, "Well, if you give this up, you're going to walk again for sure." It was more like, "If you give this up, you have a chance. If you don't give it up, you might as well buy yourself your own wheelchair right now, because you're going to be here forever." So don't wait till it gets to that point. And like I said, I'm so grateful that, you know, I can walk perfectly now, and my feet are, you know, they were very deformed for a while. They're perfectly back to normal. And I'm just grateful. And I'm also grateful that now I have a much clearer conscience. So not only do I feel healthier, I feel more congruent. And it just makes, it adds to my happiness.
Well, you sound grateful for a lot of things. I heard you say grateful so many times, and you look great. You have a high energy. I mean, I like I said, I've spent a lot of time with you. I could see that with my own eyes. I can hear you, and you brought up the rock bottom theory of ascension, which I think is a very important message. Don't wait until you hit rock bottom till you've got nowhere to go but up. Start reflecting now. And the other thing you said was, sometimes it's not about what you receive, it's about what you give up that really makes you happy and what's really important. And for me, veganism also made me healthy, and I lost a lot of weight, and I have a lot of high energy. And the other, you also mentioned one other great message, which was just giving up, not giving up, but being a part of something bigger than yourself, which is what Universal Soul Love is all about. And it's made such a big, huge difference in my life, and I'm so grateful for it. So just thank you for, you know, pointing to all those things and giving those great messages to our listeners.
Yeah. Well, things are so important, and it's stuff that, you know, I wish somebody told, you know, to be honest, I wish somebody would have told me when I was younger. I don't know that I would have listened. So I guess everything kind of happens when it's supposed to happen. But if I could go back in time, man, I would have become vegan so long ago. And it's so much easier than I thought. And now I love it. I mean, you couldn't pay me to eat some of the stuff I used to eat. Like, it disgusts me now. So it's I owe that all to my daughter, who, like I said, she's the one who really persuaded me to do it. And I should have been smart enough to figure that out on my own. So
yeah, I wanted to say that. You have a great relationship. I can tell you have a great relationship with your daughter. I keep hearing you speak highly of her, and it sounds like she's been a great teacher
amazing.
For you. Yeah, that's great to hear.
She's amazing, and my grandson's going to also, he's only 3 months old, but I can already tell he's going to be doing some amazing things, and I'm certainly going to pass on everything I know to him, and so I'm very excited about that, too.
Oh, that's fantastic. Congratulations to both of you. That's really good.
Thank you.
Life is valuable. Life is invaluable. Life is the most valuable thing. Life has intrinsic value. That's my personal value that I really uphold, that I like to uphold.
So true. And you know what? So many people, one of the things that drives me crazy is when people, when I went to Costa Rica, actually, I had somebody post on my Facebook page that, Costa Rica, that's on my bucket list. And I'm always telling people, to be a bucket list, there shouldn't be a such thing as a bucket list, because a bucket list to me is things that you're procrastinating on. And it's very easy to say, yeah, eventually I'm going to do that. It's a really easy cop-out. So I always teach my students, instead of saying, I want to do this later, or I'm going to, eventually I'm going to do this, I'd rather say, how can I make this happen now? What can I do to make this happen in the present, as opposed to, you never know when you're going to be in that wheelchair. You never know when your health is going to change. We take all this stuff for granted and just assume we're going to be healthy forever and that we get to decide all this stuff. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of, we can certainly change our habits and make our life longer, but there's a lot of things not in our control. And
that's right.
To put off the things that you want to do and the things that light you up and that excite you, I struggle whenever I hear somebody mention the word bucket list, because I think, I said, there's always, when you don't, I always tell people, when you don't have the resources, you have to be resourceful. And I'm actually creating a course that's called Passive Income Academy. It's not ready yet, but it's going to teach people how to create passive income streams and how to make money while you're sleeping, while you're traveling, while you're living your bucket list. How can you put that stuff on autopilot? And you don't have to have, people say, well, yeah, if I had a lot of money, I could do it right now. There's a lot of stuff you can do to make that happen in the present. And so many people, they're leaving so much money on the table, so much opportunity on the table, and it's very unfortunate. So I'm going to teach people how to not do that anymore.
Well, that's perfect, because we only have the present moment. Where our power to manifest reality is in the moment. So that's a perfect way to put it. And could you just give us your contact information again, your website?
Oh, sure. The website is MikeWolfMastery.com, MikeWolfMastery.com. And you can also email me at Mike@MikeWolfMastery.com.
Excellent. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Mike. This was a fantastic show and another perspective on money and value, and I just appreciate you, everything you had to say. Just great messages.
Yeah, it was a pleasure being here, and great to chat with you again, and looking forward to keeping in contact with you, and we'll have to meet up again one of these days. I'm going to be sort of in your neck of the woods. I'm going to be in New Zealand, so I'll have to stop in Australia for a little bit.
Oh, that'd be great. I just had a friend come down from Boston, an architect that visited me here in Australia, in Sydney, and we had a great time. So looking forward to it, and we'll certainly be speaking again. And just once again, thank you for everything, and we'll be talking soon. And thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Bye for now.